The recent decision by the California Supreme Court legalizing same-sex marriage has sent people to their dictionaries as they argue over what the word marriage really means. But as our linguist Jeff Nunberg points out, definitions aren't as cut and dried as people think.
A couple of months ago, the editors of the Oxford English Dictionary made some long overdue revisions in the definitions for a bunch of gender-related words. Before then, the dictionary's definition of girlfriend in the meaning sweetheart read, a man's favorite female companion, which would have precluded lesbians from having girlfriends in the romantic sense. And the old definition of love read, that feeling of attachment which is based upon difference of sex and which is the normal basis of marriage. So both words were given new definitions that would cover their use to refer to same-sex relationships. But this isn't a matter of rampant political correctness or of giving the words new meanings. It isn't as if the English language has ever ruled out talking about lesbians having girlfriends, much less kept Shakespeare from describing a romantic attachment between two men as love. It's just that when the original definitions were written, those sorts of relationships were officially invisible. Those redefinitions came to mind as I was listening to the renewed debate about gay marriage. To a lot of people, that notion isn't simply a threat to God's plan or the social order, but an affront to English. As one conservative columnist put it, it's a desecration of language. Do a Google search for web pages containing same-sex marriage and the like, together with oxymoron, and you turn up 125,000 hits, most of them posted by people who would tell you that the phrase same-sex marriage is as semantically anomalous as female rooster. Now, it's true that most people with reservations about gay marriage aren't primarily motivated by their concern for the proprieties of English usage. But it's always useful to be able to frame your position on an issue as a defense of the traditional definition of a word. It's a way of folding your argument into the language itself so that it doesn't require analysis. What could be more cut and dried than a dictionary entry? In this particular case, though, dictionaries themselves aren't always helpful in sorting things out. Lexicographers know that nobody's going to go to the mattresses to defend the traditional definitions of words like love and girlfriend. But when it comes to marriage, they start looking nervously over both their shoulders. People only look the word up to make a point, and when they don't find what they want, they're liable to organize a letter-writing campaign or punch in an angry blog entry. Some dictionaries try to placate both sides with a Solomonic solution. Both Merriam-Webster's and the Oxford American Dictionary have retained their old definition of marriage as a union between people of the opposite sex, and added an additional sense of the word that applies specifically to same-sex unions that resemble traditional marriages. It recalls the editorial practice the Washington Times followed until recently, where it always put marriage in quotes when referring to homosexuals. But there's no way to split the baby here. The opponents of gay marriage won't consent to any official use of the M word for gays. And its advocates won't accept an asterisk on the word. What point would the movement have if marriage couldn't have a single meaning that applies to everyone? That's how the word is treated in the Encarta Dictionary, which gives it a single definition that makes no reference to gender, as a legally recognized relationship between two people who intend to live together as sexual and domestic partners. Like the OED's redefinitions of love and girlfriend, that's not supposed to be a new meaning for the word, but an effort to get at what's really basic to the old one, once you strip away what Edmund Burke called the ancient prejudices and prescriptions that traditions are always entangled in. Of course, people can argue that the definition of marriage as a heterosexual union has sacramental roots that make the word very different from girlfriend or love. That debate will continue for a long time, or at least until the institution of gay marriage becomes so ordinary and unremarkable that people no longer feel the need to distinguish it with the prefix gay in the first place. But whichever side you take in this, it isn't a debate over whether to preserve the traditional meaning of marriage. One way or another, everybody's committed to that, the disagreements over what the essence of the tradition is. Though actually, the discussion would benefit if everybody could agree to lose the word traditional, which has probably worked as much mischief over the last half century as any other word in American public life. It's a word people use to muddle the past so it doesn't have to explain or justify itself. In fact, when people defend something as traditional, what they have in mind almost always turns out to be a purely modern concoction, like the pastiche of Chippendale, French provincial, Queen Anne, and colonial that goes by the name of traditional on an Ethan Allen bedroom set. Traditional marriage brings to mind the same sort of thing, a hodgepodge of customs, laws, and restrictions, secular and religious, jumbling places and periods willy-nilly. In either case, you can't tell what's the frame and what's the filigree.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist who teaches at the School of Information at the University of California at Berkeley.